From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Alex Cohen. Coming up, a fundraising stumble for Fred Thompson in the presidential race, even though, technically speaking, Thompson is still not even in the race.
But first, Congress is busy this week trying to take care of business before the August recess. On the agenda, what to do about kids in families with too much money to get Medicaid, but not enough to afford health insurance. The government figures for two parents and two kids, that's an income up to about $41,000 a year. For the last 10 years, help has come for about 6 million children in the form of something called SCHIP.
SCHIP stands for the State Children's Health Insurance Program. It comes up for renewal this year. States run the program, but the federal government supports it with about $5 billion annually. The version likely to be approved by the Senate would more than double that amount over the next 5 years.
That's too much, President Bush says, and threatens to veto the legislation. Joining us from Washington, NPR's health policy correspondent Julie Rovner. Julie, welcome. And this program has been very popular over the last decade that it's been in existence. And still, there's a lot of argument about it in both the House and the Senate. What's going on?
Well, this proves yet again that there is nothing easy in healthcare. I think in a lot of ways, this is kind of a dress rehearsal for the bigger healthcare debate that we expect to come after the next presidential election. Interestingly, I think President Bush wants to advance the debate and have it right now. He's been trying to have Congress, rather than just extend the SCHIP program, take up a proposal that he advanced earlier this year to change the way the entire tax code treats healthcare premiums. I had a chance to sit down with Health and Human Services Secretary Mike Leavitt yesterday, and he talked about this at some length. Here's a piece of tape from that conversation.
We do clearly have a difference of opinion with the Democrat leadership of Congress. They'd like the government to make the choices about the benefits. They'd like the government to make the decision on what we should pay. They'd like the government to raise taxes in order to pay for it. We believe we ought to be using the government to organize it so that consumers have choices, so that the market can favor those that do the best job at the lowest price.
All right. Well, that's the administration's argument in this. Here's the other thing that's quite interesting, I think, in this legislative debate. Who's going to pay for it?
Well, I think this is one of the other things that's made this incredibly controversial. It's not just this matter of whether the government should have a bigger role in healthcare, whether the private sector should. It's how this bill is going to be financed. Now, the Democrats kind of gave themselves a little bit of trouble at the beginning of the year when they put back in budget rules that said that anytime you're going to add money to a federal program, you're going to have to find a way to pay for it. And that means either raising taxes or cutting spending somewhere else. And in these bills, they've done a little bit of both. In both the House and Senate bills, there is an increase in tobacco taxes. The House bill would also cut funding for Medicare HMOs, private plans that serve Medicare patients. This is a favorite program of Republicans and particularly of President Bush, and this is very much what has led to the veto threat.
So a lot of debate on this. Is there any idea where the public stands on it?
Well, this program is extremely popular, and that's making it kind of difficult for Republicans who are opposing it. There was a poll that was issued just last week by a Republican polling firm called Public Opinion Strategies. They found that 86% of respondents wanted the SCHIP program continued, and 81% said that having 9 million uninsured children represents a crisis or a very serious problem.
NPR health policy correspondent Julie Rovner. Julie, hang on. We're going to go to a couple of other voices, including a Republican senator, but we want to come back to you.
Next, we go to Detroit, where NPR's Celeste Headlee takes an up-close look at SCHIP and how parents struggle with the cost of health care for their children.
Krishine Madozier is taking her 3-year-old to get immunized. Madozier's little girl and her siblings are covered through a combination of money from Medicaid and SCHIP.
You know, I don't even have extra income for if I have to pay out my pocket for her to go to the doctor. She's actually behind in her shots and probably her visits to the doctor, but, you know, we're trying to get caught up now.
Madozier's children are treated at Children's Hospital of Michigan. Hospital President Dr. Herman Gray says more than half of the kids that come to the hospital are low income.
We sometimes see parents who are reluctant to have a particular service done that their child needs because they're concerned that they may not be able to pay for it or that it may have long-term implications for their family financially.
Gray says, in the end, concerns about money and insurance affect kids' health.
Children worry when their parents worry, and they may not understand the issues, which may, in some respects, make it even more of a burden for them because they don't understand it. But they know when their parents are struggling. They know when their mother is crying because she doesn't know how she's going to pay this bill. I mean, kids know that.
Gray says in the 10 years since S-CHIP was created, he believes it's made a real difference in the quality of care that children receive. Parents, he says, are more likely to bring their kids to the doctor when they're covered.
For those families who do fall between the cracks, this is a critical program. You know, how do you get your kids immunized? How do you get kids, you know, for their regular sports physicals and school exams, let alone anything more significant if you don't have insurance? You pay for it out of your pocket, and these are the very families who would have the most difficulty paying for it out of their pockets.
Ann Dempsey's 14-year-old is being treated at Children's Hospital right now. Her son was in northern Michigan when he had a medical emergency. The hospital there couldn't treat him properly, and he had to be transferred to Detroit. Dempsey has health insurance, but she's now being asked to pay $15,000 out of pocket for airlifting her son from one facility to another, and she's worried that's not the end of it.
They're wanting us to sign releases saying that if this is not covered, you will pay for it. So they know that there are things that are not going to be covered.
Dempsey says the S-CHIP program is fine as far as it goes, but that's not far enough. She thinks the argument over health care in Washington has gone on for too long. Although Dempsey doesn't know how the government will pay for it, she believes programs like S-CHIP should be expanded to include all children and their parents.
All I know is that families are being ruined and kids are suffering. You know, you've got all your kids, the generation of kids right now, that's our future. And if they can't get the treatments that they need to get, surgeries that they need to get, what does that say, you know, for the future?
Children's Hospital is a member of NACHR, the National Association of Children's Hospitals and Related Institutions. NACHR sent 200 people to Washington in June to ask Congress to reauthorize S-CHIP. And Dr. Herman Gray says he's doing whatever he can to make legislators understand how important this issue is.
No family should have to worry about whether or not they can afford to treat their child or keep their family financially intact. And that's not a choice that a parent should have to make.
Gray says, unfortunately, for the time being at least, it's a choice that thousands of parents make every day. Celeste Headlee, NPR News, Detroit.
Republican Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma thinks that beefing up S-CHIP isn't such a smart idea. Coburn's also a physician, and like the president, he wants to use the tax code to help Americans buy health insurance for themselves. I spoke with Senator Coburn earlier. What would you say is the best part of this current S-CHIP plan that's on the table, and what are you most concerned about?
Well, the best part is every kid needs to be in for well-child exams from infant on up, and so we are going to create access for some. You know, I'm for creating that access. I would much rather see us do it in a way that doesn't cost 2.5 times what it should, and that's the problem with a government-run program. The things I worry about most is we're going to create an expanded government program that right now won't even enroll the people that should be in it. The plan is to continue to expand S-CHIP. This is at $61,900 per year. If your family makes that, you're going to be eligible for S-CHIP in this country. That's higher than the average income in 21 states. And we're asking our grandkids now, please pay for this for us because we're running a $434 billion deficit, so we're just going to charge it to our kids.
But what's at issue right now is this specific plan, and as part of it, benefits are set to expire in September. There is a bit of a deadline here.
I'm happy to support what we have today, but ultimately, Americans got to ask the question, why is it that health care costs 50% more than here than it should, and why is it that we have a model that's based on treating chronic illness instead of prevention? Why should we not equalize the tax code so that everyone has the same treatment under the tax code in terms of their health care? We could extend the S-CHIP program right now without any problem and have a real serious debate on really fixing health care in our country. But instead, we're saying we're going to let the government decide who your doctor is going to be, and we're going to let the government decide what your care is going to be. And so my question is let's create universal access for everybody, not an additional 3 million kids. Why don't we take care of all the kids and all the adults to make sure everybody has care?
It sounds very simple and easy, and I just can't imagine that in practice it would work out quite that smoothly.
You mean in terms of a tax credit?
Mm-hmm.
Well, ask yourself how well it's working out now with SCHIP and Medicaid. The real uniqueness of America is if you give freedom to people and access, they make great choices.
But freedom, there's a lot of ways to look at freedom. There are plenty of people who, quote unquote, have health insurance at work, but they can't afford to pay for it or to pay for their dependents.
That's why the tax credit would allow them to do it. If we give every family in this country a $5,400 tax credit, and the average cost of a policy right now in this country is $4,400 plus a $1,000 deductible, you have just covered everybody on average in this country. Now, some will be able to have less expensive, some are more expensive than that. But why would we not want to create that access? And why would we not want to create competition?
Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, thank you so much.
It's great to be with you.
And we're back with health correspondent Julie Rovner. You know, Julie, every time I hear a politician explain their ideas for health policy reform, I think to myself, gee, that sounds logical. Why don't we do it?
Well, as always, the devil is in the details. Normally, the problem is that there is a price tag with lots and lots and lots of zeros, and that's certainly the case with all of these tax credit proposals. Also, you end up getting into these, you know, enormous philosophical fights. Just with these SCHIP bills, we're having fights about whether illegal aliens will be covered, whether fetuses will be eligible for SCHIP. There's a fight in the House bill about whether cutting Medicare private plans will make rationing, you know, a problem. So as soon as you get into some of these health bills, you get into incredibly detailed philosophical battles.
Congress is supposed to be in recess next week. Do you expect this to be settled that quickly?
Well, I do expect the House and the Senate each to pass the bills this week. Then they'll have the month of September to try and reach a compromise. And given the way things look, I guess I expect a presidential veto. What happens from then? I have no idea.
We'll be hearing more from you in September. NPR health policy correspondent Julie Rovner. Julie, thank you again.
You're welcome.